Welcome, everybody, to the Peaceful Planet, and Happy New Year as we bring in the new year of 2017, and we say goodbye to all the good things that happened and the bad in 2016, because each year carries a new vibration. So as we consider that we're setting out intentions and setting the vibrations of peace for the Peaceful Planet and all that are listening, we thank you, first of all, for joining us on this year, New Year celebration. So if you're making a toast or you're just sitting at home alone trying to get some enlightenment, I think you're going to enjoy our show wherever you are. And we thank you for joining us this evening on a special New Year's edition of The Peaceful Planet. We have much awaiting you in store and some very, very interesting information from one of my guests, whose name is Reese Harrington. And also, I have a few words from Archangel Michael on the coming new year. And I have a few words and thoughts of my own. As I was saying, we need to put out a vibration of peace and love for people everywhere, particularly in America, the vibration of unity, oneness, and respect for others of different backgrounds and races, talents, and unique opinions and diversity is imperative at this time, because we've lived through such a divisive type of election, and the ramifications of which I went into last time I was on air with Rose Campbell, and I gave a lot of predictions for the new year. However, Archangel Michael comes in with a gentler message this evening, and I thought you would enjoy hearing Michael and his words. So I want to say that we can only achieve oneness, and this is not Archangel Michael yet, this is me, Marcia, by understanding the position of the other person, whomever they may be, and allowing them to have their truth. By repressing opinions, we are failing to learn the gift that the other person has to teach us. And by condemning another person without knowing the content of their truth, we further limit our own understanding of truth. For truth is ever present, and it's ever revealing itself in new and strange ways, and unfurling its essence in glory and beauty. So those are my thoughts about the evolving state of truth. And so then I'd like to bring through Archangel Michael's message for this evening. And we, the collective of angels, including Archangel Michael and his legions, wish you a very happy new year and encourage you to tap into my channel's services for the yearly soul reading she offers, and also a rainbow of services, including angelic Reiki, soul readings, Akashic readings, and regression. We say that this new year will be bringing many challenges to the fore and increase the necessity for understanding, unity, love, and as well as harmony. We have foretold on the previous program, Marcia's previous show, some of the earth changes and the shaking of the economy. So we therefore say to be conservative in your investments and learn to tune in to Mother Earth and her vibrations, as there will be shaking and other storms which approach many coastlines. This has been going on for quite some time, and this year will seem like everything is in chaos, but we assure you that the chaos is only because of thoughts of the darker emotions of humanity hovering in areas around the world that are filled with conflict. And out of these situations of chaos, always there is born a new child, and that child is actually Mother Earth Gaia giving the gift of herself as she is being cleansed in many areas of the world. We say with the great deal of heavy-heartedness. We ask you to tune into the vibrations of Mother Earth using your feet directly on the earth. Take a moment, take a deep breath, and ask your higher self, should I be here? Should I stay in this area? Or should I be, am I being called to relocate to another area? In this way, my beloveds, you will know exactly where you're meant to be in 2017. In this year, we're also asking you to take on new learning tasks and expand your vision of yourself to include self-improvement in possibly changes in diet, more exercise, and most importantly, in helping others that are less fortunate than yourself. Volunteering is very important, and each light worker can not only enjoy others more by giving, but also remember the golden rule that Jeshua taught you, that giving is actually receiving. The human race has much to do to grow up, and in this year, this pivotal year of 2017, as we draw closer to the ascension of Earth, the Earth changes will seem to become rapidly upon us, as well as political upheavals. One must always be steady in their commitment to the light. Never let darkness set about another contaminate the other, nor engage in any gossip or any put-downs of any other light workers or any other figures. This is not saying that we do not understand and know quite well what America is facing, but on the other hand, we do say do not prejudge any situation until it unfolds. But by that token, we also say use your wisdom by going within to your own inner understanding of truth. And I would say that this is a good time of year to reflect upon the change of the season of winter and make necessary changes that you are choosing to make for the year or desire to make, have desired or to make for a long time. Let your heart be your guide. Let your heart speak to you. Journal more and be able through the journaling to find a way to help others, for there will be many in need this year. Healers, I call you out, and they are being called out from all over the world, and particularly I call you into Marsha's healing circles at this time. We send out my golden blue light, and we surround you in the light of everlasting truth. Make the change and be the change that you want to see in your world. I am ever your guardian and your light. I am Archangel Michael. So that was quite a powerful message from Archangel Michael on a positive note, and he's asking everyone to tune in to their own inner truth. The highlights of this message, I feel, are relating to making the necessary changes that you feel will benefit yourself in this new year, so giving yourself an extra dose of self-love and exploring your inner truth in an inner way. And this can be done in the form of a soul reading. This can be done in the form of allowing yourself to go and, you know, make changes within yourself, do a journal, write out your dreams and aspirations, and then set them into motion by taking practical steps to do this. So maybe you want to lose weight, or maybe you want to change your diet, or you may be wanting to set out on a new course of healing. So I want to say I'm available for angelic Reiki sessions, and I also teach angelic Reiki in an online course, which is coming up in this later in the January month. And if you would like to reach me, you can reach me at the email at Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A, spelled Marcia, D-I, 2002, at yahoo.com. And you can ask me about the course, which is being offered for $110, and it goes into connecting with your angels and asking and calling upon the angels to channel their divine energy into the energies of Reiki. And it's a beautiful process, and it's a fine way to heal yourself or others. So anyway, I would like to pause for a moment and have let's listen to a band in sax, which will set us in the mood. This is some channeled music from the late Robert Murray at thestarstillshine.com, and it's channeled by the late Louis Armstrong. So sit back and enjoy. And we are back on the Peaceful Planet, and that was Abandoned Sex by Robert Murray at thestarstillshine.com. And we thank James, his son, for allowing us the pleasure of listening to Louis Armstrong this New Year's Eve. And it really sets the mood. I loved Louis Armstrong on the Earth Plane, and he's playing over there at the club at the other dimension, shall we say. And I have a few more announcements and a few more messages to share with you before we introduce our wonderful guest, Lise Harrington. I would like to say that I want to announce that Princess Diana's message of peace, as channeled by yours truly, will be released in early January. And this is a collection of her channeled messages of diplomacy and diplomatic solutions to that were given to me to our diplomats, and it went to the highest offices in America, and this was back in from the years 2001 to till 2003, and I released the book in 2003. It's got beautiful illustrations, paintings of the late princess, and her confirmation of me being her channel from various famous channelers throughout the world. And it's also got pictures and photographs of her funeral. And as well, she has been my primary guide, guiding the world to world peace through diplomatic solutions. And she has a brief message. I'm going to read an excerpt because I can't cover all the messages that I have here this evening. But I wanted to share with you that you should not buy the one that's available on Amazon right now, because that's a former publisher who has not really paid me any royalties, but I will announce when it's ready. And you can also check the book out and buy it directly from the website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com, my website. So I've been working with Diana for a long time, and here's an excerpt of what she has to say on world peace this evening. Marcia, I'm here to listen to your voice and your wisdom at this time. It has been a difficult time lately with some of the challenge, which I assure you will soon pass. I'm even delighted that you're republishing your original book, Princess Diana, Message of Peace, written completely by the both of us. My work for peace here continues on this side of life called the celestial realms of heaven. Here I receive children that are victims of war, and Mother Teresa and I take care of the children at various hospitals and orphanages that are set up to help them cope with such a great loss of life at a young age. At this time of Christmas, and of course the New Year, it's very important to remember those less fortunate than I, and I would encourage you before the end of the year, that is today, to make a contribution to your favorite charity, particularly a world charity that is very reputable. There are many children coming over here directly from Syria and other parts of war-torn nations, including Africa. I wish to speak and address the commencing changing of the guard in England soon. I have given Marcia the vision of Her Majesty's funeral, and I want to say that the Queen will possibly be leaving her position because of deterioration in health, and a possible transition to the heavenly realms is in the future. When this unfortunate event does occur, it will cause a huge reaction, for the Queen was very well loved in England and throughout the world and well respected. And although Her Majesty did a fine job overall, the so-called revelations about my death will be coming into play, revelations that have been covered up and hidden for almost 20 years, revelations that will shatter the Parliament and England as a whole. And for this reason, I see that my son William and his lovely wife, Princess Catherine, will be the inheritors of that kingdom soon. It was revealed to Marcia more than a year ago, and the Queen discussed the possibility of William assuming the throne. It is a very high likelihood. I'm seeing a great deal of confusion once the revelations are out there in the general public about my death. For that reason, it's unlikely that Charles will assume the throne. I never did see Charles as the king, but I've always seen my son as truly fit for the job. I shall say no more at this point on the royal family, other than I'm very proud of my sons, William, and of course, my daughter-in-law, Catherine, of course, Prince Harry. And I send all my love on to my sons, and I'm happy that they're assuming the new Kensington apartment this year. will hoping that Catherine will be having another child as she sees fit. And I want to send out all my love to the listeners on your fine program and my gratitude to the BBS Network for hosting this fine show. All my love in a troubled time, Princess Diana. So I appreciate that Diana came through with these messages, and I will be looking to see what unfolds in the coming year. Now I have a brief message from John Lennon, whom I also channel, and you can check out all my books online at dianaspeakstotheworld.com. And this is very brief. Hi, John, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing the lyrics to War Is Over, If You Want It, War Is Over, If You Want It. And have a Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas. Yeah, love, I'd like you to honor me by reading those lyrics and sending them out across the universe to all my fans, and especially to Yoko. We wish all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year for it to be without any fear. So this is John speaking here, and we'd like people to turn on to love and peace before it's too late. Things are heating up in the world, and I can see it from here, both inside the Earth's crust and also outside with the different world leaders. We've got a lot of work to do if we're going to get peace. Therefore, I send out all my love and to my fans, and particularly to James, a great deal of thanks. And George also says hello, and let's have peace now. Remember love, remember peace. This is John Lennon coming through, wishing you a Happy New Year. And so he asked me to honor him by reading a part of the great songs that he's created in the past. This is Happy Christmas, War Is Over, which was originally composed by John and Yoko. So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and another new one just begun. And so this is Christmas. I hope you had fun. The near and the dear one, the old and the young. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. And so this is Christmas. War is over. For the weak and the strong, if you want it. For rich and the poor ones, war is over. The world is so wrong, if you want it. And so happy Christmas. War is over. For the black and the white, if you want it. For yellow and red ones, war is over. Let's stop all the fight. And a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. So I couldn't hope to sing those. I have no singing ability, and John always teases me about my being tone deaf virtually to his lyrics. But all the music that we're providing is mostly channeled from the Half Beats, John and George from the other side, as you may well know by now. So we're not doing any call-in readings this evening, but instead we're going to focus on a special guest, and I'm going to read her brief bio. And she has an important aspect of truth. And the topic tonight is reincarnation and her interpretation of reincarnation. And also, she's made a brilliant discovery. A few weeks ago, almost 2 months ago now, I had a man, Dick Larson, on the program who predicted that Jesus was alive and well on the earth. And she happened to tune into the program, and that's how she found me. And she pointed out a particular man that feels that he is Jesus. So it's we welcome very wholeheartedly all the wonderful information that she has to share. And I'm going to read Risa Harrington's bio right now. Risa has developed and shared teachings from her own life experiences. Risa receives higher metaphysical instruction and guidance from her angels, spirit guides, and the Ascended Master. Risa has practiced mediumship with a focus on understanding and assisting the lost soul population in the astral realms surrounding the Earth since 1999. She went public in her mediumship practice about 2013, offering diagnostic readings for lost soul entity attachments and hauntings and possession with recommended treatment. She also offers angel and spirit guide readings. And you can find Risa on the internet at http://guidelights.org. And her email is riseguidelights@gmail.com. Risa's spiritual life path has been greatly influenced by her 20 years of mostly career-related work travels to the Far East, Europe, and Egypt. She also channels Saint Germain privately for more than 15 years, and most recently has begun publicly channeling his higher self's name, which is Adamus, or Adiamus. How did I pronounce that? Was that correct or incorrect, Reese? Welcome to the show.
Beautiful intro. It's Adamus.
Adamus. Okay, I thought so. Yeah. And welcome. And we're discussing one of your books, The Reincarnation, The Four Factors, tonight, correct?
Yes.
Great. Well, a big warm welcome to the show. And you were involved in past life regression, and I regularly practice past life regression, and I think what you may have to share may shed some light on some of the weirder experiences that I've had with past life regression in the last year. In your book, you write about the alternative aspects of what many people believe are past life experiences. Can you give us a summary of these new factors that you've discovered and how you think it works?
Yes, thank you. First, I want to say that I don't want to say across the board that there's no such thing as reincarnation, because that's very dicey, and I have a way of reframing this conversation so that people can see other aspects of why we think we reincarnated when we actually experienced another form of reliving a life that we shared temporarily, and spirit attachment is also a factor into that. let me start at the beginning here. The Ascended Masters inform us that over 99% of humans do not actually reincarnate, with some exceptions over the aeons as determined by the spiritual hierarchy. They have given these four major factors that contribute to the belief that humans have reincarnated. If we keep an open mind, we can begin to understand some of these explanations. We are simply reframing the context of what is understood to be the experience of a previous lifetime. The first one, and the most important one to myself, and I hope to get across to all our listeners, is...
Could you speak up a little bit? Could you turn your volume up just a bit, Reese?
It's all the way up. I'll just get
to
the mic.
Just speak more directly into the receiver,
sure.
Dear. Okay, thank you. That's much better.
In all of these instances that I'm going to describe, the universal law of attraction is at work in all spiritual applications. The belief in reincarnation was founded in the Buddhist Hindu tradition and has grown very popular in modern times in the Western New Age groups and around the world. I used to believe this was an enlightened belief. Approximately one-third of the humans that die at any given time, based on their belief in the teachings of reincarnation, are targeted to re-enter an earthly body in the womb of a newly incepted soul. This means that approximately one-third of every baby born to the earth has a new soul created by God's natural laws, and also has a spirit entity attachment that has overcloaked the new child in the womb. A major health factor of birth attachments is that a long-term unhealed emotion held within a soul causes some degree of physical disease. This means that a soul that dies with unhealed emotions is likely to have died with a physical disease. Attaching to a newly incepted soul at birth in the false reincarnation process causes the new soul to be born with a disease that is the same as the deceased soul. It can be presumed that any child born with a disease or physical disfigurement has an intruding birth attachment. This is a devastating circumstance for newly born.
Could you pause children. Right there? I'd like to ask you about this.
Yes.
So, I'm thinking about these kids that are diagnosed with devastating illnesses like MS or crippling disease or cancer on the brain or something really serious.
Right.
And have you had any personal experience where you've been able to work with a child, for instance, or with an adult and free up that negative entity attachment, if this is in fact the theory that we're working with here, to heal that child?
There's a yes and a no to that.
Yes, go ahead, explain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have, but without proof or follow-up. In other words, I volunteer myself as I'm guided to in circumstances where I run into babies that are afflicted, or, you know, like if I'm in a library just recently and there's a Down syndrome adult, then I come home and I work with the attachment and relieve that soul of that circumstance. They're no longer attached, and we cross over the souls that have been attached in error. And mm-hmm. I don't have follow-up.
I see. So you don't have follow-up. So I had a weird experience with a client that came to me over the summer for past life regression, and I do practice past lives regression. I've had a lot of so-called past lives. So I'm a slightly different opinion, but I'm open to hearing what you have to say about it. And I want to give you one example that was so weird I couldn't even deal with it. This may explain what happened. I don't know. But briefly, while I was working with this client, she had a memory of being Queen Elizabeth I, and she went into a great deal of detail. But she was stuck because her mother disappeared. And of course, I'm talking about King Henry and King Anne Boleyn, who gave birth to Queen Elizabeth I, one of the most powerful queens in all of history. And I was regressed after I had some trauma to my brain and a serious disease, and all of my trauma seemed to be head trauma or neck trauma. So then when I was working with her, I realized that she had been my daughter in a previous lifetime, and that I had been always had that feeling about this girl. And therefore, we had a startling discovery come up in our session. I'm trying to make it as brief as possible so you have time to talk.
Okay.
But what happened is that we realized simultaneously after an hour of regression that my client well recognized me as her mother, and she had experiences with Queen Anne visiting her after she was executed. She was beheaded on false trumped-up charges with King Henry. And you can read about it on the story of Queen Anne Boleyn. But when I was regressed, I remembered being her, and I remembered Henry, and I remembered he was having a lot of affairs, and it was a very difficult circumstance. And so to sum it up, my client and I were in another lifetime, and then we both simultaneously realized that Queen Anne was a stuck spirit. And part of her, when I was regressed, remembered going up to Jesus and talking to Jesus about my concerns about saving the kingdom of England, because I remember the higher self of me went to heaven. But apparently a lot of rumors still circulate around Tower Hill and whatnot that Queen Anne has been seen headless, you know, for centuries, and I dismissed this as all bunk. It was just all ghost stories, you know. And I had visited Tower Hill and picked up the negative vibrations of King Henry, and even stood in the same place where the execution took place, and my neck began to hurt, you know. So it was like a lot of confirmation there. But we discovered in that simultaneous moment that Queen Anne, a part of Queen Anne's soul, was stranded in the reliving of the trauma. And she couldn't get over the trauma. She still thought she was Queen Anne, and she also didn't believe that I was she in this lifetime. She kept telling me, "You are not I, and I am not you. You do not possess the manners of a queen," which I don't, of course. And, you know, this whole link with English history and Diana and why I channeled Diana make perfect sense. But we both realized that we need to do something for Queen Anne. So we had another session where we released Queen Anne. So that might explain this whole thing and why I got these diseases as well. So I'm just saying that this is a very plausible theory.
It gets very, very complex, and you have brought up so many different scenarios of possibilities that could be interwoven or interconnected, including a lost soul post-traumatic stress disorder. Because as we die, we take with us whatever we had on earth. We are not healed. And some people believe that we go into the spirit realms after death and we're all enlightened and all of our pains are relieved and our
emotions
are lifted. And that's just not the case. And so we can stay even in the spirit realms, even if we're not a lost soul. We can carry that trauma with us. And in a repetitive circumstance like PTSD. You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
I mean, it sounds like you did a healing for the lost soul part of, or the spirit.
Right, because we kept, this client of mine has the ability to channel as well as I do, and we were talking to her, and we were trying to coax her to stop reliving that, and then we did
how wonderful.
Yeah, but the thing is, I told her, you know, because she didn't believe in past life at all, and she didn't believe that this client was actually a daughter, Elizabeth, but we looked up the photographs of this girl, and she looks very much like Elizabeth. And then I happened to resemble Anne as well in the drawing by Hans Holbein. So, it's very complicated, this thing of negative entity attachments, but... I understand there's certain ways that negative entity or negative spirits can also attach. So if you can enlighten us to that.
I'm not specifically talking about, with this birth attachment, I'm not talking about negative spirits at all.
Oh,
I'm just talking
about, go on about the
I'm
birth
talking
attachment.
About a huge portion of our population that believes in Reiki reincarnation is enforcing this cycle within the spirit realm that, through the law of attraction that enables them to come back to Earth, overcloaking a newly incepted soul.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
so
if we're dying with disease, then the newly incepted soul takes on our disease as we incarnate over them. It's not incarnating, it's overcloaking. We're inserting ourselves on a newly inserted soul, a newly incepted soul, sorry. And
okay.
And it's in our ignorance that we're doing this. We're not doing it with ill intent.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
you
give me a summary of how one would work? I mean, in my mind, past lives are still very real to me. And yet,
course,
I'm very good at reading the Akashic Records, as you also must be. And then you made an interesting discovery, and I wanted to elaborate on that. I know you went through past life regression and then something changed. So what was that journey like?
Okay, well then that's my warrior experience. I had a lot of symptoms throughout my life, including identity confusion and sexual confusion, you know, between male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And the male aspects always felt stronger with me. Well, I was born with a male attachment. And so that means that a birth attachment that happens in the womb is with you your entire life unless it's discovered and removed, okay?
And did someone would remove that for you, Risa, or did you remove it? How was that worked out?
I did that, but my regression session pinpointed him as a past life instead of a birth attachment.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And so I was confused for decades, and when I found out about, I was reading Edith Fiore's book, The Unquiet Dead, and she discovered all of her, a huge population of her clients were actually describing problems with attached souls. Some of these were birth attachments, and some of them were negative attachments, and they were trauma attachments, you know, from unhealed emotions. And that's where the law of attraction attracts a lost soul with the same unhealed emotion to attach to a human being with the same emotion to accelerate the healing. I mean, that's inevitably what happens because the attachment exacerbates the problem within the human, and the human finally gets so freaked out that they seek help psychologically or through a medium like me or in some circumstance that helps them to relieve the circumstance of the attachment.
Mm-hmm. So can a lost soul be completely removed from the person?
Oh, this is the work I do. The lost souls become healed in the same healing session with a client. you know, that it's a matter of education, educating a lost soul is the same as educating a human being. They're just on two different realms, right? You know, they're not ghosts. They're not crazy necessarily. They're just human beings that don't have bodies anymore.
Does it account for some instances of people being crazy or having bipolar?
Mostly, yes. Mostly that is what the circumstance is.
Or severe depression, for instance?
Yes.
So
and
it could be
personality disorder,
a spirit possession. I've always read that if a person uses alcohol or drugs, that an obsessive overuse of prescription medication or, you know, drugs or alcohol can cause a person to have a slight possession, that spirits will come in. And I was wondering
right
if you
possession
could comment
because
on that.
It attracts them to surround them, the negative energy, yes.
So then could a spirit actually influence the thinking of a person while they're under the influence of
they
something?
Do. They absolutely do, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're
so beware all New Year's listeners. Don't have too much to drink. A little bit is okay, but not a lot.
You know what? Yes. If a person is positive-minded and is vibrationally high, they're not going to have any problems with dark souls or attachments.
I don't know if that's a general rule, though. I think that...
Well, it's not a general... Well, it is kind of a general. If a person is vibrating in a high state and they have unhealed emotions, they can certainly attract the lost soul attachment. But that
so
lost
this could
soul
also
is going
happen...
to be at the same vibratory rate. They're not going to necessarily be dark.
Uh-huh. Well, let's say that this person is a light worker. I had something that came up when I did the Course in Miracles, and it was a very dark thing that I went through processing and reading the Course in Miracles, which was maybe 40 years ago. And I became depressed, and I later reflected, and I thought maybe I had an attachment come in at that time. And I was destined to be a light worker, and, you know, I felt very much in light. And then all of a sudden when I read that book, and it was channeled information from Jesus, it really... It did a winger on me. I don't know how to explain it. It's all in the past now. But it took me a long time to work through that experience. And I've known other people that read that book, and they had similar experiences. I don't know if you've read A Course in Miracles.
What I'd like to do is just make a clarifying statement.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone on this earth is surrounded by spirit beings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is the nature of the universe. We are.
Yeah, that does sound
they're
like
in a different realm, but they're still with us.
Right.
We're either attracting light beings or we're attracting dark beings or somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily attaching to us, but they're around us and they're influencing us for the good or for the neutral or for the bad, right?
Yeah.
So we're all influenced all the time. You know, what happened to you in that particular circumstance that you just described is unknown to me. I'd have to really dig into the material.
Well, it's unknown to me, too, because it was part of my learning experience. It may not have been a dark entity attachment, but it may have been a dark phase, like we all go through a dark night of the soul on our way to enlightenment. So, in other words, I'd like also to let the cat out of the bag about your discoveries with this process of releasing people, and also talk a little bit about this A.J. Miller and what you've learned from him. And who is A.J. Miller? Let's start out with that.
It's possible because there's not an easy segue into either one of them. So, A.J., when I discovered this truth about this new truth that the Ascended Masters are drilling into me about reincarnation, I resisted heavily because I have believed in reincarnation all of my life.
Yeah, I do too.
It so much. And so in that resistance, I didn't go public with my discoveries. But once I discovered that A.J. Miller was corroborating with evidence of these birth attachments that are mislabeled as reincarnation, I had the fuel that I needed and the faith that I needed to go public. And, you know, I was studying with A.J. at the time. He believes that he is Jesus, and my guidance says he is also. I don't really care what his earth name is or was. What I care about is his teachings, because he is so profoundly beautiful in his teachings of universal truth and the truth about God, that I have not heard anything like it in any other path or religion or explanation in my life. And he has successfully drawn me to my Creator, and that's a very personal relationship and experience. So I won't elaborate on that, except to say that I follow him, and I will be tied to him to some degree for probably the rest of my life.
He's very interesting. I checked him out after I read your book, and I was most curious, because I've had the Jesus Mysteries on A Peaceful Planet since 2005. And this guy, if he isn't Jesus, I don't know who he would be, because he has perfect recollection, but he is actually reincarnated from Jesus.
To say on that uh-huh. he is actually, what I understand, is Sananda, which is his higher self name in spirit.
I was going to ask about Sananda, because I've had channeled messages from Lord Sananda.
So he's not really Jesus. He's A.J. Miller in this mm-hmm. lifetime, and he was Jesus in his first life. But he is mm-hmm. he in truth should be calling himself Sananda.
I was going to ask you that. So my understanding of how I interpret what you're saying, and I'm open to everything you're saying, is that there's this thing called the Oversoul, and the Oversoul is completely eternal and never changes and is timeless, and it was created by God eons ago. And then my understanding of the past life concept or individual lifetimes is that the monad sends out a particle that is a portion of the tree of life of that monad soul. So we all belong to a large oversoul or a larger monad. And then each of our individual lives is individual. But we remember lifetimes, past lifetimes, and this is my theory. This is not AJ's or your theory, but my theory is that it's just a particle, and that's why we're able to tap back into the Akashic Records and experience our lifetimes as though they were real, as though they were ours, and clear up karmic debris from other lifetimes that may be influencing our lifetime right now to get a healing or to make peace with an enemy that was an enemy in a past life, or to rekindle a friendship. So past lives have enormous significance still to me. I still practice past life regression for people. And I've met a lot of people, and yourself among them, who remember fragments, whether they be Akashic Record revealings or if they are actually, in fact, Akashic records of, you know, other Essenes that walked with Jesus. And I remember having a past life with Jesus, and that's why when I saw this guy AJ and his mannerisms and his forceful speaking and his confidence, I immediately recognized Jesus in his work. So I think of it as a projection of the soul monad. Do you also share that opinion, or is yours a little different?
Not in the context that you're explaining it, no.
Okay.
But I think, Marcia, that there are so many possibilities and complexities that neither you or I can understand the big picture. I have to speak for myself. I can't see the entire big picture for sure. I cannot.
Well, truth is ever unfolding, and we're ever revealing truth on this show, because the Jesus mystery is phenomenally multifaceted. And I was wondering, and I was going to ask you whether he calls himself Sananda, because I have had many channelings from Lord Sananda, but I understand that Sananda had another incarnation, but maybe that's not a topic for your particular explanation.
No.
So,
no,
now,
it's not.
You said that Saint Germain was standing by. Did Saint Germain have anything enlightening to share about this topic with you? Your main guide is Saint Germain,
I would say one of my main guides. I would say to that Adamus or Saint Germain has given me all of this material.
Mm-hmm.
When I suggest that he might come in while we're talking, he has not given an indication that he is going to speak.
Okay.
So, you know, I wouldn't ask him to at this moment.
That's fine.
That's something spontaneous that might happen at some point.
So. I do channel Master Saint Germain as well, and I love and adore Master Saint Germain. So he's the Master Kohan for the New Age. But as I understand it, on spiritual hierarchy, the positions of the spiritual hierarchy continuously rotating, and people are moving up all the time in vibration. So I was told by Archangel Michael quite some years ago that no master would be taking on any incarnation in this New Age of Light. But yet, I've regressed so many people that remember lifetimes with Jesus, and now you've made this marvelous discovery, and this guy is fascinating and full of light and sounds just like the master. And I was close with him, but I was not Mary Magdalene. But I've regressed a couple people that remember being Mary Magdalene, and that always confused me.
Now,
how could we have
all these
Mary Magdalenes around? You
that
know?
Is a perfect example and segue into the other factor that has been given to me by Adama Saint Germain, and that is the travel through the Akashic record of historical lifetime. A lot of people are lifted astrally in their sleep to visit the Akashic record in historical time frames to experience, to co-live the life of Mary Magdalene, archetypal beings like Joan of Arc, Guinevere, King Arthur, Jesus. You know, and there are probably thousands of people out there that think that they were Master Jesus in that time frame. It's because they experienced his life hitchhiking in the astral realms through his life.
Well, I haven't regressed anyone that remembers being Master Jesus, just so
well,
you know.
I but haven't
it's
either,
very
but I sure read about them, and they're all over YouTube and
Yeah. Very interesting. So I want to mention your website, and are you still doing your private readings and healings for people? And your title of the book is Reincarnation, the Four Factors, and name some of your other titles and give us your contact information before we close out the show too, Risa.
Oh, sure. Okay, the other titles, these are manuals that compiled are the final manual called Exposing Darkness, and these are Demons, True or False, and Entity Removals, the ABC Manual for Do-It-Yourselfers of Self-Healing, and
I bought that today,
yeah.
And I bought the other one today, too. It's on Kindle, right? Reincarnation, the Four Factors.
Oh, I sent you the PDF files, honey. You didn't have to buy them.
Oh, I bought another one then. I guess I bought Reincarnation, the Four Factors. But if you want to send me a complimentary copy, I'd appreciate that too. But I like reading on the Kindle on the phone when I have no
I know.
Work.
I don't like
just
reading on
there.
The computer, and I'm not fond of PDF either.
Yeah, and you can't get it on the phone. But now,
yes,
your website, Risa?
Website,
Risa?
GuideLights.org.
GuideLights.org, and your contact information if people are struggling with what they believe is a negative entity attachment, or they want to read, or they'd like to have a reading with you, an angelic reading. It is Reese Guidelights.
Yes.
At gmail.com.
R-I-S-E Guidelights at gmail.com. Yes.
And then your public channeling as well. Please announce that.
I leave that work on the adamas.net.
Adamas.net. Beautiful.
E-U-S, Adamas. Yeah.
Well, on that note, we're going to have to close out the show. And thank you. Yeah, we're already at a half an hour, and we're already at the hour for the show. So I want to wish you and all our listeners a very blessed New Year. And I want to stay in touch with you. I loved your work, and I loved AJ. I've invited him on the show. I don't know if he'll come or not, but it's not quite
comprehensive. That would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful. Thank you, and many blessings to you. And thank you for enlightening us with your understanding of reincarnation, true or false. and your overcloaking and all the other good things you do. And I wish you much prosperity and happiness to all our listeners. And we're going to close out with the song, Something for Gossamer Wings, as inspired by George.
God bless you, Marcia. Thank you.
God bless you, darling. Good night. Have a happy new year. Bye for now.